Okay, everybody, so today's daf is Kuf Yud Beis. We're holding the fourth line from the top of the Amud, and we're continuing to talk about the inyan of Basar B'Cholav. Boi Menei Rav Dimi Merav Nachman. Rav Dimi asked Rav Nachman the following interesting shayla. Maula Anuche Kado de Milcha Gabi Kado de Kimcha. Can you go and place the two containers, one that is holding melach, salt, next to another container that's holding kimcha? Kimcha, says Rashi, is kutach. Kutach, as we've had many times, is a milchige dip, like a yogurt. Can you go and put the two together? Now, what's the shaila? They're both tsoinan, so they're not absorbing one from the other. But Rashi says, perhaps we should be goyzer, that if a person is not careful, he's going to go and put in or put back some of the kutach whilst he's removing it from the large container and putting it into his plate, for instance, into his bowl. Maybe by mistake, some of that kutach is going to spill into the melach, into the salt. And he's not going to realize it. And what's going to happen is, subsequently, that day, that week, whatever, he's going to use some of that salt for putting on his fleishik, putting it into his chicken soup, putting it into his chulent, putting it onto his meat. So I'm going to have a problem, because the melach is going to contain some of the kutach, some of this milchige dip, and by mistake he's going to go and put it onto his meat. Oh yeah, yeah, I'm going to have basar b'cholav. It's interesting that the Gemara asks a shayla of milcha together with kumcha, salt together with kutach. What about placing together two containers in the refrigerator, for instance, of milchiks and fleishiks? One of kimcha, and instead of having milcha, right next to it put some chicken or some meat. Would that be a...
Salt and milk are both white.
Is that good or bad?
That makes it more of a danger, because if you spill some milk into the salt, you won't recognize that the milks have penetrated the salt.
Aha. Okay, very nice. You're saying it's worse when you're talking about salt than when you're talking about meat. So let's get to that in one moment. If you take a quick look at the Rashi, kumcha, kutach, it's about halfway down the Amud. Kumcha, kutach, kutach is a milchige dip. Michashinen shema yipol min hakutach b'melach, maybe by accident some of the kutach, as he's scooping it out or pouring it out from the container, maybe some of it's going to fall in the melach. He didn't even realize the yimlechu mimenu kederis basar, and subsequently we're going to use that salt, which has now been embedded with a little bit of kutach. He's going to use that onto the basar. Is that a chshash? Yes or no? But the question of having the meat. I'm sorry.
Salt usually is battered by shishin. You don't put, even if it has milk, the amount of salt you put in a piece of chicken or meat is very little compared to the size. So
what you're saying, Mick, two points. First of all, you are correct. Normally the amount that you put in is much less. However, the Gemara elsewhere tells us that since tavlin have a very, very strong flavor, they do not become easily bottled b'shishim like other types of foods. Something which is very sharp, such as salt or pepper or other types of spices, sometimes the shear could even be one in an elef, one in 1,000,
yeah,
one in 500.
You're not looking to mevatel the salt, you're looking to mevatel the kitach in the salt.
No, what he's saying is that the amount of salt that you're putting onto the meat is minuscule, so the amount of kutach that you put in is going to be very, very small.
Right.
So do you have to worry about it?
You're right, so you're saying that the kitach has the same din as the salt.
No, I'm saying that the amount that he's going to put in is going to be a masho, because it's salt, you're not going to...
But he's right, why is the kitach is... Even if there is milk in there, it's going to be minuscule.
Okay,
that's
his question.
Yeah.
Okay, so Bill, my Machitin says that the question is excellent, because even though the amount of melach that you're going to put in is going to be minimal, and therefore the amount of kutach that you're going to put in is going to be minimal, so therefore it should be bottled b'shishim. That's your question. Very good. Another point that can be made is that at ein mevatlin isel chatchila. Once it falls in and you're stuck, then you have to start measuring. Yes, can you feel it? Can't you feel it? Call over ikfeila armo'a to taste it, or otherwise go and make shishim. Question is the putting of these two containers together. And the Mefarshim explain, it's talking about the containers are open, they have no lids on them. Because if there was a lid on them, I don't have to worry about the kutach falling into the melach. By definition, if it falls, it falls onto the lid. It's not going to fall into the container. And so therefore, do I have to be concerned that eventually some of the kutach is going to get into the salt, and he might use it afterwards for salting meat? So that's the Gemara's Shaila. So interesting, so I asked, what would be the case if you had meat together with milk, one next to each other? And this, and Barry was answering, well, these are both white. So there's the second toises here in the middle wide lines. Maulanuchi kada de milcha, etc. Ein lesser mitam ze lohaniach beteva achas kad shel basar etzel kad shel cholov. Even though we have a shiloh about the kad of salt next to the kad of milchiks, I don't have the same shaila about putting the teva achas into one large box, like into a refrigerator or something like that. The kachul basan next to the kachul cholov. You know why? The hasam nizer yofe shle yipal mizeh al zeh. Everybody is very careful. Oy, busa b'chulav. Oy, yisan treif matunish mechachas v'shulam. Here he's not so careful, because after all, worse comes to worse. If some of the kutta falls into the melach, he feels that's not basar b'cholav, that's cholav inside of a parva. So therefore, he won't be and therefore, since he's not being that careful, if there are two pushkis, one is fleishiks, one's milchiks, you're going to be very, very careful. If one's parva, one's milchik, okay, so little milchik falls into the parva, nishkeferlich, and then the yimlach mimenu basar, he won't realize that some kutach fell in, he might use it for melichas basar, etc. So, therefore, Tosis is telling us something interesting, that you have to be more careful about putting a parva thing next to the milchik, or next to a fleishik, as opposed to putting milchiks and fleishiks together, one next to each other.
Potentially you would use.
Exactly.
If it's not a dish that you would use.
Yeah, but nothing to talk about. Okay, so anyway, so that's the Gemara Shaila Ma'aludachai.
Ketchup, mustard.
Ah, Malaysi told the Moser, no, don't do it. This is such a problem which is apparently motsui enough that I have to be choshish that some of it may fall in, and therefore don't. The chalamai, what happens if instead of putting salt in the other container, you had a container of vinegar, or Malaysia, then that's okay, that's not a problem. Pray Timura, umayshna, what difference does it make? You can have kutach going into the salt, and you have kutach going into the vinegar. Manishtana zemizeh. So he answered him in somewhat of a jocular manner, l'chitechel Allah kura de milcha. Rashi doesn't say that here, but Rashi says it in other places that he did it b'dichusa. Dichusa means in a jocular fashion. But what do these words mean? So Rashi in the middle of the Yom, techel over here means to measure. Kishe timdoid li ale kor shel melach bischori oy melach tam shel davar. I'm not going to go and give you a free psak, says Rav Nachman, but rather, if you're going to do a little chore for me, you're going to go and measure for me a kor shel melach. That's not a small chore. That's a big, heavy-duty chore. Because when you're talking about kor, as you know, is 30 saw. 30 saw is a huge amount of melach. So he didn't mean it literally, but rather he just meant it kind of in a jocular fashion. You know, go and do some small service for me, and I'll take care of you. You have the same Rashi. If you want to look at Rashi and Yud Beis Amud Aleph, for those of you using regular Gemaras and not art school Gemaras, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, about two-thirds down the Amud, you have the same language, L'chitechel Allah Kuret Milcha, says Rashi again, Kishetimloid Li Kor Shel Melach Bischar Sh'oy Malach. You want to pay me a small tip? Go and measure for me a Kor Shel Melach. And Rashi says, U'bidichusa bi'almahu. It was just kind of a light comment, it was not meant to be, yes, go and start measuring for me melech. That's what Rashi says here on Daf Yud Beis, and here again on Kuf Yud Beis. Interestingly enough, there's a Rashi in Masechtas Shabbos on Daf Dalid who brings that first pshat, and then he has a second pshat. There too, the Gemara was asking a question, and there too he answers, the Chitei Chalala Kura Demilcha. dibdichusa ahadale. He answered him with a joke. He shatimli karsha malach. Lishnach rena, but another pshat, that the word teichel over here doesn't mean to measure, but teichel means to eat. Lishnach rena, kisha teichel alei kurshel malach, loy tucha lehashvoisim zu lezu. If you would eat a kurshel malach, the purpose of the kurshel malach to sharpen your wits, so to speak, loy tucha, then you won't say that the two are comparable. You'll be able to show the difference between one and the other, between the case of the melach and the case of the chala, meaning the vinegar. Reb Lozer Horowitz, which is one of the Meforshim in the back in Masechta Shabbos, he adds a little bit more of, if you will, some salt or pepper to this pshat, and he says, nearly, I'm reading now from Yalkut Meforshim in the back of Masechta Shabbos, nearly da'achi perushoi. Same thing like the second pshat of Rashi, when you eat the kor melech, then you'll be able to go and really feel the difference between, in that Gemara, the two cases that were posed. Yeah. The Omele came. Why did he say that? He knew that there is a way to be mechalik. Viraya. How do I know? Minashol based pa'omim. He asked twice the same shayla. The person who was asking the question, he didn't really feel the difference between one case and the other. And any answer that people gave him, he felt like a machel tofel bli melech, as if this answer was not salted. So what Rav Nachman is saying in our Gemara is, according to this pshat of Rav Horowitz, that if you're going to go and eat some melach, some salt, that hopefully will sharpen your wits, just like you can tell the difference between food that has not been salted and food that has been salted. Here too, you take a little bit of salt and you'll see that there is, in fact, a substantial difference between the two cases. So what are the two cases over here? One is the karsha melach and one is the not karsha melach. Here's the kadad, the melach, and here was the kadad, the challah. So what's the difference? Ever the gemara. My time up. Hai isei isura be'enei, v'hai leisei isura be'enei. In the case of the kutach that falls into the salt, it's going to stay on the top of the salt. Presumably, some of it will get absorbed into the salt, but the remaining part will stay on the top. After all, if you're talking about a yogurt type of dip, there is, yes, it's certainly liquidy, but there's also solid to it. So the solid part will remain be'en on the top of the melach. And now if you're going to use subsequently that melach and put it on to meat, you're putting the iser be'en, ashtik milchiks, on top of the fleshes. Masha Enkin, in our case over here, lesser iser be'enei. Rashi explains two reasons. Number one, because of the fact that you're putting it into vinegar, which is totally liquid, it will dissolve eventually in that vinegar, so there won't be any mamoshes. Ah, you're going to tell me, okay, but there'll still be a tam, and tam is ki'ikr. Nah, says Rashi. Anything that falls into vinegar typically is so overpowering, just like we said before, by tavlin, it's very, very strong, it will wipe out any kutuch that falls in. And so therefore, not only won't there be mamoshes, there won't even be a taste of the kutuch. So worse comes to worse, if after that you use that vinegar together with the meat, you don't have to worry about basar b'chol. Zokti morabaita, a new case. Ahu bar goizla. Bar goizla means a small pigeon, a kosher pigeon, of course. The nafal lekada tekimka, that unfortunately fell into such a kad of milchi yedip. And now the question is, what do I do about this? Since both of them are tzonim, they're both cold. Shari Rav Chinna Barei D'Rava from Pashrunya. Rav Chinna Barei D'Rava from Pashrunya was matir. The Gemara doesn't tell us what the circumstances are. However, the Mefarshim say that you still have to, of course, rinse off any kumcha which is on the outside of this piece of this pigeon, of this piece of bird. You have to wash it thoroughly. But after that, it's mutalach, no problem. And now Rava is now explaining the svara of Rav Chinana, Barei D'Rava, Mipashrunya. So Omer Rava, Man chakim lemishri. Who is such a chacham to be matter this case? Ki hai gavna, like we just discussed. Ilav Rav Chinna b'rei the Rav mir pashrunya. Why is this such a chachma that he was matter? Because kasaver ki amishmul maliach hariyu kirseach hari milechadein and nechal machmas molchay. What is Rava telling us? We've learned already in the past a couple of times that Shmuel says Maliach, something which is salted, Hari Kerseach, is as if it was cooked. Anytime something cooks, we know this, the potential of Bliyos from one item to another, which could of course make it treif. So why am I not concerned over here that I'm going to have some Bliyos from the Kutach going into, actually not from the, yeah, from the Kutach, because Rashi explained, Kutach, a dip, has in it some salt, together with all the other spices that you have in this yogurt, whether it's a Greek yogurt or a non-Greek yogurt, besides being milchik, there's also some salt in it. So maybe as a result of that salt, it's going, some of that Kutach with the salt is going to fall onto the Bar Goizla, onto the pigeon that fell in. So why shouldn't that pigeon now be deemed as if it was cooking? Because Maliach Ari Kiroiseya. Oy, oy, oy. And if it cooked, then certainly it should get a tam. Why does the Gemara say that he was matir? And for the Gemara, Hani Milhechadein and Nechel Machlis Molchay. That's only when there's a huge amount of salt. So much salt that it's no longer edible. And if you're asking, why would a person put so much salt into meat or something else, says Rashi, lahatznia, to preserve it. Of course, for us, this sounds very, very strange, because if you have leftover meat or raw meat, you put it in the freezer for a day, for a week, for a month. Years ago, they didn't have freezers. Really? Yes, that's correct. So what did they do to preserve either fish or meat? They would go and salt it and salt it and salt it until it was totally inedible, and that preserved it, and then a week later, a month later, you want to eat from the fish or the meat, you of course have to wash it very vigorously to get out all of that salt. But during the time that it was embalmed in the salt, to be able to go and preserve it, oh, that's a maliach hariyu kiroiseach. And therefore, if that would have been the amount of the salt in the kutuk that falls on top of the bar goizla, avada, you'd have a problem of basa b'cholot. But hani milhechad ein nechel machas molchay. That's because you put so much malicha, so much melach, that it's impossible to eat. It's inedible. Oh, then it's maliach hari kreseach. But hai kutcha, hari nechel machas molchay. After all, people are eating the kutcha, notwithstanding that there is one of its ingredients is the melach, and therefore that's the chiddush of Rav Chinna b'rei Rav Ravim b'Rav Pashrunya. Their Shmuel did not hold maliach hari kreseach, and therefore mutalach mutalach. Bahani mila, but that's dafka chai, that chicken or that pigeon that fell in was still raw. Chai over here doesn't mean it's alive. That it was raw. Abatzli, if it was already cooked, meaning that it was roasted, boy klipa, then that has weakened somewhat the texture of the outside of this bar goizla, and it's now more susceptible to a blia from the kutach. But it's not an intensive type of susceptibility, and therefore all you have to do is boy klipa. In other words, you have to remove the outside layer of this bar goizla, not very deep, it's a quarter of an inch, a half an inch, you have to take off from the outside, and the rest of it is fine. But that's dafka if it has no cracks or crevices. The isbei pili. Pili means that there are cracks in the goizel. And this goizel we're talking about, says Rashi, the one that was tzli. So I have two problems now. Number one, that it was roasted. And number two, that it has cracks in it. And kuli osir, that it's not just enough boy klipa, then the whole thing is osir. Because then we have to be concerned that the kutach reached into the bowels, into the recesses of this goizel, and the whole thing is no good. Sorry? Nachmol? Okay, thank you for the nice pun. A peel is an elephant. Good. And the Gemara continues on, the metabel betavlin kulei osir. Not only in a case where it has the cracks, but if when you cooked it or you roasted it, you put a lot of salt, pepper, and other condiments and other spices on it. So then, once again, that opens up the pores of this bar goizla. Now, when you have the kutuch, when it falls into the kutuch, I have to worry about that the kutuch went into the pores, and the thing is awesome. New shtickle. Omer of Nachman, Omer Shmuel. Kikor shechotach aleha basar. You took basar, and Rashi says it's a basar tzli, where you already roasted it. Normally, you put it on your plate and you eat it, no problem. However, here the problem was when you cut up the basar, you cut it up over a kikar. Kikar, a piece of bread. Then also liachli, you now let it go and eat from the piece of bread. Why could you eat from the piece of bread? Because even though you kashered this piece of meat by going and doing a tzli, and as you know, when you're doing a tzli, you don't have to do the full-fledged malicha like we do by food that you're going to cook in a pot. But rather, if you do the tzli, you only have to have a abyssal of malicha zakolduhu, and then you do the tzli, and the tzli itself draws out the blood, and it drips and drips from that piece of meat, and then it's kushav yushav. But that's only if you're going to go and eat the meat directly. But if you're going to go and eat meat first by cutting it up and allowing drips and drops to come from the basar onto the bread down below, then you cannot go and eat the bread. Why can't you eat the bread? Because you have to worry about that maybe there's some dam that was left inside the basar, which spilled now or oozed now on top of the bread. Now, it's true, if there's blood coming from the basar onto the bread, so then that means that there's dam in the basar. How are you able to eat from the basar? So the Mefarshim, the Poskim, explain, as long as the dam is loy nifrash, if it did not separate itself from the basar, it didn't come out la'avir or oilam, then that dam, which is embedded inside the meat, is kosher. You're allowed to eat it.
It was cooked already. How could it be a problem? It was cooked.
Remember, it's not cooking over here. It was at tzli. And the problem is, after...
It's tzli. So it's tzli. After it's tzli, even if the blood is inside and it's embedded by the meat, when it's roasting on a spit, that blood is cooked blood. We've learned already. Blood that's cooked doesn't have Torah's dam.
You already asked that question yesterday two
and
times.
Answer.
And the answer is, our sugya of our Gemara has not yet addressed anything having to do with dam mevushel, whether we're still going to come across it or not. Maybe you are thinking about yayin mevushel. In terms of dam mevushel, okay, and you find me a Gemara, Deval, in our whole sugya, we have not addressed that yet. So the Gemara is assuming that dam mevushel and dam tzli remains as usher as any other dam, as long as it's still embedded in the original meat. No issue. Once it comes out, you're of tzaris. So if you look at the Rashi, first of the wide lines, shechotach aleha basar, you had a kikar, you had a piece of bread, and you cut a piece of meat over it. Yishu choytach men hatzli. Oy, tzli, it's kosher. Asa liachla. Nisha adam yoytze v'nivla boy. Dam drips down from that piece of meat into the kikar down below, and therefore, it's not a question of being a fleshiger piece of bread now becomes an osser piece of bread because it has dam in it. And however, the Gemara says that all depends on the circumstances, as we'll see. So again, Umrav Nachman Umrav Shmuel Kikah Shechotach Aleha Basar Osser Liachla because of the dam. V'hani Mili, but that's only the asmik. Asmik means that it's red. And Rashi says Shehaya Basar Odoin. Now, isn't all meat red? So that's a little bit shver. I'm sorry, Nachul?
After the tzli is red.
So the Machitn is saying that even after the tzli, like, it still happens to be red.
Like
so therefore, it's like a medium rare. It hasn't been fully roasted yet. There's in our Rashi, it brings shkan teruda, which is apparently some French term. And my Gemara have a gois v'tziyunim, zayin, that says that means sofug dam. That means it's like dam is sponged into it. There's still a lot of dam in it. But the Rebbeinu Gershom has a slightly different shot. The Rebbeinu Gershom and my Gemara, it's on the left hand side. You go down about 2/3 or 3/4 the Amid. Says Hani Mili de Asmik. Says the Rebbeinu Gershom Kegloin Kloimar de Asmik Abosar Mechayim Shehikoi Habehema Beoisei Mokoi the Nitzer Hadam. That this behema, when it was still alive, apparently got into some sort of accident, some sort of trauma situation, or it hit itself or fell down or whatever. So in one particular location in the animal, it wasn't strong enough to make it into a treifa, but there was an accumulation of blood, like a black and blue mark, so to speak, on the animal, and therefore, because of that, nitzer adam, that's what he means, asmik. A regular piece of meat, I'm not choshed for all of that, because by the time you finish the tzli, all the dam is taken care of. Any dam that comes out would not be a problem. Here it's only because the asmik, oh, there's a whole collection of dam there as a result of that makkah that it received previously. And the Gemara continues on, v'hani mili di avre, that the blood was sufficiently large in terms of volume that it made a hole from, not a hole, but really that it went from one end of the bread to the other end of the bread. In other words, it didn't just make a superficial reddish mark on top of the bread, but there was so much that it went from one end to the body. See, look at the next Rashi, third wide line. Panimili de avrei shenokav hadam es akikar. The dam made like a hole in the kikar. It didn't really make a hole. It means kaloyimar avar mitzida letzida, went from one side to the other side. At shenir mishnei tzedadim, you picked up the piece of bread and you saw the bloody mess on both sides. Oh, then you got a problem with that. Continues more. Vanimila de asmachay. It's got to be that the reddish blood that you saw was thick. Avakalishta less than, but if it was nice and thin, it's not a problem. What difference does it make between thick or thin? Says Rashi, if it's thick, then I know it's taka blood. However, if it's thin, then it's muhol hayoytzim in abasar. Muhol means gravy, red juices that come out of the meat. It's not blood, it's red juice. Sometimes if you go to a restaurant or you go to a chasana, I personally always like my meat well done, but I see some people that like it medium rare, and I see that as they're eating it, it looks like blood oozing from the piece of meat, and I say, how could the person eat that meat? But it's not really blood, of course. It was kosher. We're talking about, obviously, a kosher chasana, a kosher restaurant, so it was totally kosher. However, those are red juices that are coming out. The Gemara, in another few lines, is going to call that meat wine. So don't whine about it when you see all that red stuff coming out. It's really just meat juice and not dam. So that's what the Gemara is telling us, is the only time you have to be concerned if it's a thick reddish liquid that's coming down, dripping down from the piece of meat as you're cutting it, as opposed to if it's nice and thin, that's just juice and gravy.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yes. Are we assuming in this particular case that this roasted meat is unsalted? That seems to be the case.
But the halacha by tzli is that it's different than cooking. Cooking, you have to get the salt out, you have to first rinse it well, and then you have to put on special kashering salt, leave it there for an hour, and then after that you have to rinse it again. So it's a whole process. If you're talking about for tzli, if you're going to roast the meat, this is not required. The chacham said, put on at least a ritual amount of salt from the outside superficially, but you don't have to rinse it before, you don't have to let it sit in the salt for an extended period of time, you don't have to rinse it afterwards, just put some ceremoniously some salt, and then you hang it up in the rotisserie in the oven, let it cook for a while until all of the blood will be drained from that piece of meat, and then it's kosher. Okay, Shlomo? So getting back to our Gemara, Shmuel shodile the kalbe. Shmuel was very machmir. After all, Omer of Nachman, Omer Shmuel, that's the halacha 4 lines ago. Kika shechata chalei abasar osur liachla. So what did he do with it? It's dam. So he threw it for the club and he gave it for the dogs to eat. On the other hand, Rav Huna yoav le shame. Rav Huna didn't eat it himself, but he gave it to his shamus. His shamus, the waiter, whoever his assistant was, who is Jewish. And of course, the Gemara says, how could that be? Manavshach, Ishari, if in fact Rav Huna holds that it's kosher, then the Kuli Alma Ishari, then it's put for everybody. He Osir, and if he's not allowed to eat it, the Kuli Alma Osir. In other words, it sounds a little bit Chas V'Sholem that Rav Huna is deceiving his assistant. He himself won't eat it because he feels that it's Osir like Shmuel holds. But for the Shamus, he's not so frum, it's okay. You know, worse comes to worse, he does a little bit of an Isser. The Nishkefel. Chas V'Sholem, how can you say something like that? Even the Gemara, Shani Rav Huna, Danina Date. Ravuna held that it's mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. Once it went through the tzli, any blood that you see coming out is not blood, it's just meat juice. Not a problem. So why didn't he eat it himself? Because he was a finicky type of person. He didn't eat anything that was put on his plate, but he was always very careful that it should be exactly the way that he likes it prepared. If he saw any type of red liquid oozing out of it, even though he knew that it was mutalach, but he himself couldn't get himself to eat that, and therefore he gave it to a shamus who was not as finicky as him. And in fact, like we mentioned a moment ago, Rava Ochalei, Rava did eat from that piece of bread where some of the redness in the bread came from the cutting of the basar on top of the bread. The Kari Lane, he would go and refer to this as chamar. Chamar means wine, basar of the meat. So this is meat juice, meat wine coming out, and therefore it's not really dam. Kusha v'yusha. So we have a machlokes here between Rav Nachman and Shmuel, and Rava and Rav Huna, who held that it was kosher. Now we have another Rav Nachman and Shmuel, and I'm pointing out that these both are Rav Nachman and Shmuel, because the Gemara in the Amud Beis is going to ask a stira between the two. What is this case over here? Om Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel ein menichem kli tachas basar ad sheichle kol mara ad mumis sheboy. You remember that yesterday we had that famous kli that they used to put into the ovens called the bardugi, beidugi. In fact, if you want to look back just for a moment on Kufir Aleph Amid Beis, top line, top Rashi, beidugi shenoisin kli lekabel hashuman kiderach she'onu oisin la'avazin. Those that wanted to go and accumulate the shmalt to use it as shmalt, they used to go and put such a kli underneath the roasting meat so that what would come in would be all the fat that was heated up as a result of the roasting. That fat would fall into the kli, and afterwards you let it stand and it would congeal and become fat, and people used to use it. And that's what it's called, the beidugi beloshin arami. So our Gemara tells us that you got to be very careful of putting that kli tachas basar, because in addition to all the fat that's dropping into it, there might be blood that's draining into it. Because after all, we just said now that the second way of kashering meat is by putting it into a roasting oven, and then the drops and drips of blood will come out, and therefore the meat will be totally kosher. But guess what? But those drops and drips that come out, that's real dam. So, you got a problem. So it says, Rav Nachman and Shmuel, to take care of this issue, don't put the kli until achiyichla komara an mumish sheboy. That you look at that piece of meat which is roasting in the oven, and you see the drops and the drips and the drops and the drips which are oozing out. As soon as the meat loses its reddish appearance, then put the kli in, because by this time you know that any redness that's coming out is no longer dam, and you'll be able to eat all of the fat without any difficulty. Tell me, what point is that? How can you tell what is the measure? Tal Tim Rossi says, Rashi, that you see that the meat has roasted so well that it's now mala oshon, that smoke is now being emitted and going up, which presumably means that it's starting to burn. And since it's starting to burn, that's why it no longer is going to have its reddishness. Quite to the contrary, it's soon going to be black. Rashi has two pshatim. We can look at the two pshatim of Rashi. They're similar. Rashi is about seven lines from the bottom. Mishitala timrosai, shehabasar mala oshan, like we just said now, that the meat is now smoking. But lishnachrin, it's not that the meat is smoking, shehagecholim malin oshan, but rather the coals underneath the meat, those are now smoking. Why? As long as you still had the dam spritzing down, falling down onto the gecholim, what would those accomplish? They wouldn't accomplish that the gecholim would start making a smoke, but rather coven. Since it's a liquid, it would extinguish some of the coals, v'holchin, and they would continue to extinguish it as long as they're is any dam left. But once avukishashuman noitev, meaning there's no longer any blood left, so they're no longer extinguishing the coals, eye, you still see drops and drips that are coming down. That's no longer dam. That's shuman. That's fat. Noitzith hein. And when the shuman is coming down, then hein malin oshin, then that causes there now to be this oshin, this smoke. But bottom line is, once you come to that smoke portion, then you know that all of the dam has been drained. You no longer have to worry. Put your beidugi in, and you'll be able to go and accumulate all of the chelik.
I think we said yesterday during beidugi that it was even before the, even if there was blood on the bottom, you scraped off the fat rose to the top.
You're 100% right. You're absolutely right. The Rashi yesterday continued, was based really on the Gemara, and the Gemara said that the blood of a piece of basar is shocheng. It goes down to the bottom. And therefore, as you say, just skim off, remove the shuman from the top, and leave the blood on the bottom. What Rav Nachman or Mishmuel is telling us is, yeah, that's taka wonderful, but don't do that at the outset of the roasting. Do that towards the end of the roasting. Because you're doing at the outset of the roasting, there's going to be a tremendous accumulation of blood. We don't want that. Wait until 99% of the blood has drained. How do I know 99%? Because I see it's mala osha and I see all the smoke is coming up. Then schnell, put the bay dugi in, and even if subsequently when you take it out and you let the thing cool, 99% of the top is going to be this delicious fat. You're going to find in the bottom there's still some redness. Leave that. You don't have to worry about that anymore because it's only a small amount and you'll ignore it. But don't do that at the outset because then you'll have much more blood and it won't just be the remnants of the blood on the bottom of the pan. It'll make a ganza mixture together with the shuman and it'll answer it because of the dam.
This is mala ashen kol shehu.
Very good. Beautiful. How are you feeling, Brother Shai?
I'm getting better.
Baruch Hashem. You should continue to get better and better and better. We need you. Refuah shleimah. Maskev l'Ravashi. So Ravashi says, one second, Rabbi Sai. I don't know if you've ever worked in the kitchen, but if you have, you will see the Dilma Tatoa Mata Iloa Loi Mata. What does that mean? Again, like we had yesterday, the spits in the good old days were vertical as opposed to horizontal. So what was roasting them? That's the charcoal down below. So the charcoal down below did a great job on the bottom half of the basar, but not on the top half of the basar, because the bottom one is the one that's so close to the gecholim, and it's doing a great job at being mala oshan. However, what about the top part of the basar? If you open up the rotisserie, you might find that the top part is still nice and red and bloody in nature. So how can you just rely on this talit timrosai, rely on the oshan? Elom Ravashi, less like takanta, the real takana is not just waiting for the smoke to come up, ela mishda bey tarti kaloli milcha umishafya. What you have to do is put inside that kli and put in it two clumps of melach, of salt. What does that help? Says the Rashi, because the dam acts as an attraction, as a magnet, so to speak, for the dam, that the dam is all going to seep in and ooze into the melach, then the melach is going to be one shtick of salt together with the dam, and then you remove the whole salt and you'll remove the dam. So it's like a sponge, if you will, that's going to sponge in all of the blood, remove it, and that'll be the best eitzah that you don't have to worry about it any further. So Leslie Takanta Lemishda Beitarti Gloli Milcha, throw in these two like little balls, clumps of salt. For Meshafya, says Rashi in the top, the word Meshafya means to pour. And what are you going to pour? You're going to pour the shuman that has accumulated at the top, mikli el kli, kadesh li yisarev hadam boy. So in other words, Rashi is saying is, I have two eitzes, combine the two. Number one, put in the salt, and number two, when you finally want to use that shuman, don't use it directly from the beidugi, but pour it off from the beidugi into another kli, so that you should be able to go and eat clean, undisturbed and unmixed, undiluted shuman, and it'll be really gishmak, that schmaltz, and there won't be any dam in it. That's a little bit different than what we said yesterday, or maybe what the Gemara is saying yesterday is, that even if it turns out that a little bit of blood does fall to the bottom, and you were not successful with the melech and the pouring, Och nicht gefährlich. Just don't eat that. Leave it there in the bottom and only eat from the top. Amli Ravach Amrei Ravikla Ravashi. Did Shmuel say this? That what? That after, Rashi says, that after the Mara Ad Mima Sheboy Mutter, that after the redness has left the meat because it's Mala Oshan, then from this point on you can now eat from the meat and eat from the drips and the drops, and it's not an issue. That same Shmuel, that was Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel, and then Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel. And Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel said before that if you have a kikar and you cut the piece of meat and drops and drips come out into the piece of kikar, into the piece of bread, asli achla. Why is that? Didn't we just say that mishatala oshan, from the time that there's no longer marad mimus, you don't have to worry about blood anymore? And here you're telling me I do have to worry about the blood. Is the blood still around or is it not still around? Make up your mind. And for the Gemara, Shani Hasam, the Agav Doichet to Sakina, Paul Lid. What the Gemara is telling us is, yes, there is blood still inside, even after the roasting. And as long as it's not Dam Shapirish, the Dam is still embedded in the Basar, you can eat it, no problem. However, if you're going to cut it with a knife, and now you're going to have drops and drips of redness coming out, says Shmuel. And remember, we have to have all of those requirements that we had in the Amud Aleph, that if it's thick and it went into the piece of bread from mikotzer lakotzer, from one end to the other end, and it does not look klishta, it doesn't look like it's meat juice, but it looks like meat dam, as a result of the cutting, that's going to put pressure on the piece of basar, and instead of having now dam that stayed inside the whole time, now we're going to have dam shapirish that comes out. So, yes.
Yesterday, the Irish group brings down when we had an Amud Aleph, is that Rava Achale required the Chamer Basar. And he brings down that that is the Halacha Alcha. He says, Halacha Alcha Rava, once the meat is roasted till it's half done, which is at the point where most people will eat it, and it's used, it uses Rava is permitted.
Very good, Shkoyach. So that's Halacha Lamaisa. But our Gemara, in the meantime, before we get to Halacha Lamaisa, is asking this stira between the two Shmuels. One Shmuel says that the dam, once it's yala oshan, kola marad and mimnes shabai, there's no blood left, you have nothing more to worry about. And the other Shmuel says, if you cut it, then blood comes out, it's blood, you got tsuris. So how do you answer that, stira? Gemara says that when you go and cut it, the duchta sakina causes it to be pirish. As long as the dam evarim was inside, it was never pirish, you can eat it raw. But once you see that it's on your plate, because you cut it with a piece of, with a good sakin, then you would not be able to eat it. But as you're pointing out, Brother Shai, that's a machloikis, that was the seed of the Gemara asked about Shmuel, but halach l'maisa, we follow Rava, and we also follow Rav Huna. Rav Huna himself didn't eat from it, because he was anina datoy. But he also held that this is kosher, once you roasted it, it's fine.
And of course, we already solved our meat, so it's not. This is only when they, I guess they didn't flee to kosher.
Exactly right. What you're saying is 100% correct. Our whole Gemara until now was focusing on he did not do any real malicha. In other words, when you're doing it for a kedera, for cooking in a pot, you have to be moilichit with all from aleph to tav, from A to Z. First, you have to go and wash it vigorously, and then you have to go and put on salt, not just regular salt. It's got to be kashering salt. Leave it there for at least an hour. Let it drain. And after that, you rinse it off. And then it becomes kosher. However, if you're doing tzli, you only have to do a malicha kolduhu. Not a heavy-duty type of malicha. Abyssal malicha. And then you hang it up in your rotisserie, in your oven. It'll all drain. And then it'll be kosher v'yusha. So there are two ways of kashering meat. Now we're talking about the first way of doing the malicha. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever seen a malicha, but to do a proper malicha, you have to have a kli menukav. Kli menukav means that it has to have holes in it. Some of you may have seen in your infancy how you went and cooked the liver, roasted the liver over the fire, over the stove. You also put it in such a metal mesh that was full of holes, so that any blood would then ooze out from that kli. Here too, you have to make sure when you're doing malicha that it has holes. What's the reason why you have to have holes? because if you don't have holes and you just leave the meat there with the salt on top of it, it's true that the blood will start oozing out and flowing out of the meat, but then it's going to settle on the bottom of the kli, and now this piece of meat, what you're going to have is a transfer of blood from the top to blood on the bottom, and after it was already polated, it's now going to be bolea it. So you haven't really accomplished anything. Therefore, what you have to do is make sure that it has holes so that any blood will ooze and drain from that kli. And now our Gemara is going to talk about this in more detail. Omer of Nachman. Dogim vi'oifoi shemolchem ze'im ze'. It was kind of a silly thing to do, but the person put fish together with chicken. And Rashi says, lav dafke chicken, but kolshken, if you're talking about meat. So both of them you are salting at the same time, on the same, inside the same kli. Asurin, the dog will now be asur. Asur in the sense that we are concerned that the dog is going to be bolea from the blood of the oifois, or from the meat, and therefore it will be asur to eat al-stam, not al-fleshix, but that because of the dam inside. What is the situation? But we're talking about a kli that did not have holes in it. In other words, your regular standard kli. It's not only oifis v'dogim, even oifis v'oifis. Meaning, if you have multiple pieces of meat inside that same kli, the blood from one will seep out and it will stay there on the bottom of the kli because there's no nekev, and the other piece of meat is sitting in it and it will absorb some of that blood. So the blood will go from oif 1 to oif 2 or oif 3, etc. Even theoretically in the same piece as well. So why are you only talking about dogim? You should be talking about oifis. Oifis v'oifis. If there is a good hold, then for the dogim oifis nami shari. That should also be permissible because you're right, the oifis are going to be polate some of that dam, but that dam is going to go through the holes of that kli and they won't stick around and they're not going to infect the dogim. So what's the issue? Everything on the oil mikli manukav. In fact, it does have holes. However, the dogim ishim derofu karmayu kadmi upalti v'oifais kamiti basa denaychi dogim pliti oifais v'hader bali minei. What does the Gemara mean to say? We've had in the Gemara yesterday, a couple of days ago, where the Gemara tells us that if a piece of meat is busy being polate, it cannot at the same time be bolea. It cannot do two things, it cannot do multitasking. The meat is so busy being polate, the dam emitting the dam and letting the dam drain, that it doesn't have at that time the koyach to go and take any dam and be bolea any dam. So, yes, if you let the thing stick around, eventually after the pleat is over, then it will be bolea. But at the same time that it's polate, it's too busy and it cannot be bolea. So it says that Gemara, that's if you're talking about a piece of meat. Dogim, however, rofu karmayu. Rofu karmayu means their skin is very thin, and therefore its own blood, as you know, the blood of dogim is mutter to eat. You don't go and salt dogim to get out the blood. So that is not an issue. Any other types of juices inside the dogim, they will ooze and drain very easily because rafu kamai, because since they are very thin skinned, kadmi upalti, after already a few minutes, all of those bloods and other fish juices are all going to be niflat, they're all going to be polite, and from this point on the dog is no longer going to be polite, so you don't have the excuse that since it's polite it's no longer balea. It's going to finish off its pleatois, let's say, in 15 minutes or half an hour. On the other hand, oifois kimiti, oifois are much more thick, and therefore the thick, in terms of the oif itself, as well as the skin on the outside, are thicker. Is basur tanaichi dogim, after the dogim are already finished, they're already at menucha, that they have already been polate, everything that they have, any juices, any blood, anything. Only after busted the naichi dogim, then pleat the oifis. Then the oifis start being polite, because the oifis took much longer because they are thick skinned, and therefore it took much longer for their blood to ooze. But now that the blood has oozed out from the oifis, and now the dogim are no longer busy being polite, so therefore the fish is going to go and be bolea from the dam that was emitted by the oifis. By oifis and oifis, I don't have that problem, says Rashi. Why not? Because oifis va'oifis, they all are going to be polite at the same time. And since they're all being polite, they cannot be boleya. And remember, we're talking about a kli menukiv, so that we don't have to worry about that the meat is sitting in a pool of blood. All of the blood that was emitted and oozed and drained, taka drained from the kli menukiv. But dagim va'oifis, since dogim go and they drain so much more quickly, so now they are ready, willing, and able to go and be boleya. And now the oifis finally, they start being polite. So I'm worried about that any dogim that are sitting next to or underneath a piece of oif will be boleya from the dam of the oif. Nu shtikla. Rav Meir bar Rochel, imlech le basa shchuta, bahadi basa treifa. The Rav Meir bar Rochel went and did a malicha of two pieces of meat together in the same kli. One was basa shchuta, the other one was basa treifa. Treifa would mean that you shechted, and unfortunately it was treif because you had a simen tarfis, such as a sirch in the lungs. Rashi Grada has a different girsa, not bahadi basa treifa, bahadi basa nevela. In other words, basa that was not gishochten at all, or at least not properly gishochten. It doesn't really make a difference, but the point is, he was meleach both of these together. Presumably, why would a person be meleach basa treif in the first place, or basa nevela? He probably didn't realize it was basa treif or basa nevela, and only afterwards did he find out, did Rav Meir bar Rochel realize, oy, 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 this is basa treif. So now, what is the issue that you were meleach both of them together? So, the issue over here is not that I'm worried about blood going from one to the other, because we just said a moment ago that oifois va'oifois, as long as it's a kli menukav, then they both are polite at the same time, and therefore neither of them can be boleya because they're so busy being polite they can't be boleya. So what's the shaila? The shaila is, putting aside the blood issue, I have the basa treifa issue, that the basa treifa has its own juices, just like when you cook meat inside a pot, you'll notice after you add all the condiments and the spices, it's typically gravy that comes out afterwards from that basar. So here I also have the basar juices, putting aside the meat. And I'm worried that maybe those basar juices, the basar treifa, is going to go into the basar shchuta. What happens? What should I do, says Rav Meir bar Rochel. Can I eat from the basar shchuta, yes or no? Also the Kami Drav, and he came in front of the Rav, and Amalei, he said, it's a braisa. The braisa says, legabi shrotzim. It says by the shrotzim, the lashon of hatzameim. If you have the, I don't know if you have the Torah or Hasholeim, but he says, eile hatzameim lechem b'chol asheretz kol anigia behem b'moisim yit ma'ar ha'arif. The question is, why do you have the hey hayidia? It could have said, eile tameim lechem b'chol asheretz. Zokti yomara, hatzameim comes to say, lesser tziron v'roitvan v'kipa shalahen. They're not only talking about the actual sheretz itself, nor the dam of the sheretz, but any type of body liquid emitted by the sheretz. Tzir is a, usually used tzir in connection with fish. We usually refer to a fish yoach, the fish sauce, but here it's the sheretz sauce, or roitvan, the gravy or the soup that was emitted, the kipish alhen, any little pieces of condiments, of spices that mixed with that sauce is called kippah. All of these can similarly aser. So it's not only the sheretz itself, it's also, it's not, we're not talking about tam ki'ikr, we're talking about any types of body juices that are emitted by the shrotzim. Here, of course, we're not talking about shrotzim, but the Gemara holds kol shkein zikha legabe meat, because meat has much more body juice than the shrotzim, these small little rodents. Anyway, so what do I see from that? That they do aser. Since they aser, yes, the juices emitted by the basar treifa will aser the basar shchuta. That's what Ravi is.
Not dam.
Not the dam. The dam is not a problem, because it's just like oifis v'oifis, that we said that it's all going to drain, and they're all poilet at the same time. So if you're wondering, but why are they able to be boileya this tzir, if you just said that they're busy being polate? So Rashi says on the bottom that the tzir, since it's such a soft liquid compared to the dam, which is much thicker, that it's much easier to be boileya from these body juices of the basar treifa as opposed to the dam. If you look at the Rashi all the way in the bottom, the last line, given the tziran osim mitzer habosar hashochet machmes tzira treifa shunoyach libala min hadam. That's a much easier type of liquid that can be nivla, absorbed. So even though the other piece of meat, the basar shkuta, is busy polate, it's polate, it cannot be bolea, that thick liquid that we call blood. However, here you're talking about a much thinner liquid than blood, and that it can be bolea after all. Frank Dimar of Alei Malei Midishmuel. Why is he bringing from the Braisa? Why is he bringing from Shmuel? The Amish Shmuel. Maliach harihu kariseach, v'kovish harihu kimavushel. We should bring a raya from Shmuel, since we're talking about malicha, and we're talking about heavy-duty malicha to go and kasher the meat. So that's like reseach, it's like cooking. So then, of course, any type of tzir from one entering into the other is going to go and aser. The Tav Tosis is bothered by why would the Gemara ask, instead of bring a braisa, we should go and bring Shmuel. Shmuel, after all, is an amoira. A braisa is from Tanoim. Okay, maybe the Gemara says on occasion that Shmuel is also a Tana. But certainly you have a Befeirish braisa on point. Why would you bring from Shmuel? So the Tav Tosis says because the braisa itself really doesn't answer the question. We're talking about over here that the two are sitting in the same kli, minukav, and you put salt on it. But when you put it into the kli, they were both cold pieces of meat, soinan b'tsoinan, l'choira, they're not going to be bolea one from the other, and everything is great. What's the shaila? Oh, but Shmuel said, no, when you do malicha, it's like you're heating it up, malicha ari kriseach. Oh, this is directly on point, that because you are, quote-unquote, cooking them together, by salting them together, so that's much more of a chsha. Everybody knows that if you cook a non-kosher piece of meat with a kosher piece of meat in the same pot, unless you have 60 times as much, or if you have min b'mino, you couldn't trip Yehuda, of course it's going to go and be osir. So what's the shaila? The shaila was because it wasn't cooking together. It was on that kli that you were doing a malicha. It was cold. So I might have thought, it's not a shaila. Rab Meri Baruch might have said, I'm sure I'm going to go ask Rava. Rava is going to say that it's kosher. So Rava tells me a braisa that talks about the body juices. Mazel tov body juices, but still cold and cold. That's why the Gemara says he should have brought a raya from Shmuel, because Shmuel holds Maliach Ari Kriseach. It's cooking. No, if you're cooking two pieces of meat together, of course it's going to be treif. So what's your shaila? So he should have quoted Shmuel. And for anyone, even if Shmuel have a min hani mili de min daman. I'm sorry, daman means of course the blood. Maybe when did Shmuel say Maliach Ari Kriseach, and therefore you have a problem of cooking the two together, and one's going to answer the other, is because I have the dam is going to go and answer it. But maybe not the body juices. Kamash Malon, that's why we have to have this brisa that Rava brought, that if you are Maliach, the two together, okay, the dam you won't have an issue because both of them are so polite, they're so busy, torrid in plita, they're not going to be Maliach. But since it's here, and Roitav are all to us, and those are easy to be nivla into the basar, it'll be taka osar after all. So we stop over here, Rabbi Yisai Mechem. Do we continue tomorrow? Have a wonderful day. Hatzlacha Rabbah.